We're going to talk about the joy of serving God. You know, some may not understand how joyful it can be to serve the Lord. When I say joy, I'm not talking about just happiness or laughter, but more of a way of life. When you have joy in your heart from being a faithful servant of God, it will give you stability in your life that produces peace and hope. Joshua is a good example of this. He certainly understood how joyful it was to serve God as he told the people of his day in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua took great delight in serving God. Early on, he was chosen to be the leader of the children of Israel, and God told him not to go right or left, but to keep his commandments, and he would be with him. Knowing this caused Joshua to fight for the cause of God with joy, which is why he was so successful in defeating city after city in the Promised Land. He also loved to worship God. Well, David is another good example of a man who took great joy in serving God and especially worshiping him. And we can see this by his life and by the many praise songs he wrote in Psalms. For example, Psalms 21:1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Psalms 27:6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalms 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, these are just a few verses that express God's joy in serving God. You notice he found joy in knowing the strength of God and the salvation that he offers. As Christians, we should be full of joy when we think about all that God has done for us in the past, what he's doing for us today, and what he'll do for us in the future. And could you imagine how life would be if God wasn't in our lives? If he hadn't offered us salvation? It'd be pretty miserable, don't you think? I think we could all agree on that. When it came to David offering up sacrifices, he didn't consider it as a burden. Instead, he found joy in every opportunity he had to serve God. He understood that everything belonged to God anyway, and he was thankful for the many blessings God had given him. Since David knew how great God's blessings are, he told all the righteous to shout for joy. As we read in Psalms 122:1, David loved when it was time to worship God. We should have that same joy today. What can be more thrilling or more important than coming to the house of the Lord and worshiping our Creator? Our primary reason for coming together is to break bread together, to form the body of Christ, and to worship God. Unfortunately, some Christians go to church just for the social aspect of it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with coming together and, you know, fellowshipping and having a good time and spending time with each other, but it shouldn't be our main reason for coming to church. While we don't offer animal sacrifices to God, the New Testament does talk about some sacrifices that we can make to God. Hebrews 13:15-16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And when we sing praises to God and do good to others and share what we have with others, it is considered a sacrifice. God is pleased with it. We should have no problems as Christians making these kinds of sacrifices. In fact, it should bring us great joy to do what we can for the Lord. We all know that Jesus is our best example of servitude. As Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. In Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus' first priority was to serve his Father, which included serving others because it is the Father's will that we serve others. We certainly never read about Jesus complaining about what the Father asked him to do, nor do we see him having any negative attitude about the opportunities he was given to glorify his Father in heaven. Instead, it was always a joy for Jesus to serve God and to serve others. Jesus gives a great description of what the Christian life is all about, especially when it comes to serving. Luke 17:7-10, But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, once we become Christians, we're servants to the Lord. And kind of the way I take that is, you know, we're to be his servants. We shouldn't look for a pat on the back. You know, as Brandon was saying this morning, we're his servant. We're to serve him. He's not in debt to us. You know, we're in debt to him. You know, Paul tells us in Romans 16:6, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We can either serve sin or serve God. Of course, the big difference between the two is one offers salvation, the other brings eternal condemnation, as Paul just pointed out. Notice what else he says in the next two chapters, chapters 17-18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have opened from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Those who have obeyed the gospel have a lot to be thankful for because we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ and we are no longer a slave to sin. We can know that we have been saved and have the hope of eternal life in heaven. This is why we see the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:39 and the jailer in Acts 16:34 rejoicing after they had been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. If knowing what Christianity is all about and how God has made it possible for us to have salvation does not bring joy to your heart and cause you to want to serve God, then nothing will. Unfortunately, sometimes Christians lose their joy of serving God and start viewing everything they do in and out of the church as a chore instead of seeing it as another opportunity to use their talent for the Lord. When Christians get to the point in their life where it is no longer joyful to serve God, then something's wrong. You know, I found a couple of quotes online, and one is by Billy Sunday. He says, If you have no joy in religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. And another one by a man by the name of William Gurnall, he gives a good valid reason why Christians stop finding joy in serving God. The reason why many poor souls have so little heat of joy in their hearts is that they have so little light of gospel knowledge in their mind. You know, the further we distance ourselves from God and His Word, the less joy we have serving Him. If we do not make God's Word part of our life and use it to remind us of His great love for us and how He has given His all for us, then it's easy for us to take the blessing He has given us for granted. If you ever find yourself feeling like serving God is more of an obligation than joyful, then you need to take a serious look at your life because you're in a bad place in your relationship with God. Serving God in or out of church should always bring you joy, even if you're suffering persecution for the cause of Christ. We can see this happening early on in the church in Acts 5, when the apostles were arrested by the Jewish council, and they wanted to put them to death. But notice what our text says, starting in Acts 5:34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do so as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And many say unto you, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy, to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, even though the apostles' lives were on the line, they didn't worry about themselves. Instead, they rejoiced about serving for the cause of God. They were happy that they were found worthy to suffer for his name. And they continued to preach the good news daily wherever they could. This is the same attitude that we should have as Christians, because there's nothing that can bring us greater joy than serving God in any way that we can. Of course, the main motivation behind our servitude is love. But I'm afraid that some view their Christianity as they view their jobs. They don't really want to get up in the morning to go to work, but they do it anyway because they need the paycheck. In the same way, some do what God tells them to do, not because they want to, but because they just want to go to heaven. If we simply go through the motions of serving others or serving God without love, we're wasting our time. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. God has never desired that we serve him because we feel we have to. We shouldn't do it out of obligation. Instead, he wants us to find joy in serving him and others. So if we are not motivated by our love for God, then as Paul said, it profits us nothing. If we can't do it out of love, then it's not going to profit us anything. True joy can only be had when it comes from love. We learn all about love from God himself. 1 John 4:18 through 21. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Even if a person hasn't experienced love, they can pick up their Bible and read it and see what love is all about. God has shown his love for us in many ways. He created us, all the beauty we behold on a daily basis. He has been involved in our lives since the day of creation. He created us with free will. He made a plan of salvation for us that we could choose to follow or ignore. And one of the greatest expressions of his love came from him offering up his only begotten son so that we could have salvation. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have no valid excuse of not understanding what true love is all about. Since love motivated God to give up his son for salvation, think about what love can motivate you to do for God and for others. I want you to think about your life right now. How do you feel about serving God in the church and outside the church? Do you still find joy in serving him? Or does it seem like a burden to you? If it seems like a burden to you, you need to ask yourself why. If you don't know for sure, I would suggest that you examine your prayer life and the amount of time you spend in God's Word. If you're not praying as you should, you may have become more dependent on yourself instead of God. If you're not studying God's Word as you should, you could be allowing the world and its sinful ways to influence you and rob you of your joy of serving the Lord. If you want to cure your problem and find the joy in serving the Lord, then I would recommend these same two things. Start praying more and studying God's Word more. You should pray to God to help you have more joy in serving Him. When you put God's Word into your life on a daily basis, it will serve as a constant reminder of all the wonderful things that God has done for you and the promise He has made. It will help change your attitude toward serving the Lord. We must all remind ourselves from time to time about the commitment that we made to God when we chose to become a Christian. Sometimes it's easy for us to take the love of God for granted and become lazy in service to God. But we should always strive to find the passion and the zeal we had for serving Christ when we first became a Christian. Because we are taught to remain faithful to God unto death. The Bible teaches us to persevere, press on to the goal, and to run the race to win, but we have to have a willing spirit to do so. So let us never forget that finding joy in serving God is an essential part of Christianity because it serves as an antidote to all the despair that surrounds us on a daily basis. Let the joy of serving the Lord be your strength this day and every day.